Good morning, Vikings fans. This is Morning Joe's. Ooh, that sounds so good. I hope it's fair use for reasons I'll explain in a second. I am your host, Joe Johnson, owner of VikingsTerritory.com, PurplePTSD.com, PurpleTerritoryRadio.com, and MiniIce.com, a Minnesota Wild site that if you go to right now, you're going to say, how does this guy make money off these things? Because it looks like a GeoCities website from the late 90s, but it should be up and polished and ready to go in the next couple days. So if you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday, check it out. Should have a lot of great Wild coverage. I'm here, as always, with my Noah's Ark amount of animals in the background, and Mr. Joe Oberle. This is a quality show. It's definitely ready. It's definitely ready for radio. If
got our own sound effects. That's
the sound bar.
Yes, I have the human sound bar. That's me. That's what somebody called me once. I don't know what that meant, but I'll take it. Yes, how are you? I'm good. We're back after a debilitating defeat, a deflating loss. I know it's in the agenda. Is the dream gone? Oh yeah, baby. It's all over. They kicked that one to the curb and in just surprising fashion. I mean, last week I feared it a little bit, saying that I think this game was closer than it is on paper because, you know, you had this really rotten team and a team that was on the rise. And you talked about trap game, and I said, it's going to be tough, you know. They came in, and Joe, how many times have we talked about emotion? But, boy, did they hit – their defense hit the Vikings. They were just – knocking people down and smacking people. They knocked Dalvin Cook around. Like I, you know, being a fantasy league owner of Dalvin Cook, I was pretty worried. I was saying, get him out of there.
Yeah, there was some pretty vicious hits. I mean, you know, I know people are really ragging on the refs for part of that loss. I've never been a huge fan of doing that unless it's something egregious. You know, it just doesn't – it feels very Packers-ish to me or New England fan-y to me. But there was some – I mean, the helmet-to-helmet on Cousins was pretty egregious. I mean,
especially – they missed it. They missed it.
How much they want to protect quarterbacks. But if that was Aaron Rodgers, he would have gone on national television and complained about it, and they would have made it some sort of new rule about it. You know, but and then the hit on Dalvin was legal, but that was brutal, and it must have knocked the wind out of him. He looked injured for a second.
Knocked
the wind out of everybody watching. The Harrison Smith penalty was complete garbage. But at the same time, I don't want to
say – go ahead.
I just want to say I don't want to say they didn't play well enough to win and that it was all on the refs or something. You know, I think the offense played for the most part played spectacularly. But, yeah, the defense played it so badly that it's, you know, sure, they can make the playoffs. I was on Sansevier's show this week yesterday, and he was basically talking about the expanding to 8 teams, and he thinks that's going to happen. The Vikings are the 9 seed, blah, blah, blah. We don't know for sure what defense is going to show up week to week. If they need to win every game except for maybe one, there's no way that's going to happen. I mean, they're just too young. There's too many mistakes being made. You know, I don't spend a ton of time on Vikings Twitter, but I'm seeing people arguing about Cameron Dantzler and saying, well, he's a rookie, so cut him some slack. But it's like, how many times can this guy line up completely out of position? I don't care. Does he not know the playbook, or why is he getting so flustered? There's just too many variables that could go wrong and too thin of a margin of error for them to really do anything this season that I think is realistic.
Well, you know, stepping back to the refs a little bit, I heard that right out of the gate after the game. And the only, you know, to be honest, as far as the Cousins hit, they didn't see it. The ref behind the quarterback was on the wrong side to see that hit. He still should have seen it. He didn't. He didn't call it. Fine. The one on Smith is the only one I'm going to say that I thought was a terrible call, that they made the call and it never should have happened. You know, he was underneath the guy's helmet, his head snapped back, or for whatever reason, you have to go look at that and make sure, or at least talk about it. That was a bad call. I'm not going to say that's – I didn't come away with that impression. I came away with the impression, two things, that the defense did not play well enough to win. They had made so many mistakes. They didn't start out with the same ferocity that the Cowboys did. You know, and now the Cowboys were coming off a bye, so they were probably fresher than the Vikings. Vikings were, you know, came off a short week and might maybe not as fresh and needed to get going, but they did not rise to the level in the first half, and they just stunk. Offense had a great game, but once again, not great enough. And I know you're going to praise Cousins because I know you can't help. It's within your DNA for some dang reason, but he still.
You know why.
I know why. He still didn't do what was needed to be done at the end of the game. And after let me finish. After the Vikings game ended, I saw the end of the Packers game, and Rodgers did.
I know. I saw that, yeah. too. And I was happening. Of course.
He needed to get him in position for a field goal. I know that Justin Jefferson dropped a pass that was right in his hands. Cousins, fine. That happened. Thielen did too. Find a play that works then. You've got to get that done. Now, it's unfortunate. Yes, it's not all on Cousins. I'm not saying he's terrible as a result, but he has been many times where it has been his fault. So for whatever reason, he didn't get it done. So that's what you get to say. Does that mean he's the worst quarterback ever? No. Does that mean they should get rid of him? No. He played a great game. He's had several games here in the past few weeks where they needed him to help him win the game, and he's done it. He didn't here. You know, Rodgers did it, you know, and then Rodgers got burned. His guy dropped a pass, and they ended up losing the game to the Colts as a result in overtime. That happens. 9 times out of 10, Cousins doesn't do it, and someone like Rodgers or Pat Mahomes or somebody else does. So you can praise him, and you should. He played a great game, but do not lift him to the level of those other guys, or else, I don't know what. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. How dare you introduce nuance into this industry? You know, he had a spectacular game. You know, I think that if there's any proof that we live in a simulation, I've said this multiple times. My fiance is attempting to wean herself off of being a Packers fan by being a Vikings fan, and the way that game ended, and then you see the Packers get the ball at like the 5-yard line, and then,
man, she must love you, Joe. That's all.
You know, yeah, totally. You know. I must be doing something right. But, you know, again, the first three possessions in the second half were touchdowns. He gets the ball back. He throws for a first down to Jefferson. Jefferson drops it. He throws a ball to Thielen. Thielen was covered very well, but Thielen's made that catch multiple times.
Yep.
You know, that could have changed the outcome of the game. But, again, the defense, I mean, who knows if they would have tied it with a field goal. The defense wasn't stopping anybody, so
that's right. It's a good point.
In overtime, and then you get down to the nitty gritty of it, which is even if they had won that game, if you're getting beat by Andy Dalton and a Cowboys team with two wins, what's the point of even winning that game and for the grand scheme
right.
of things? You know,
so we're back to tanking for Trevor.
Well, now we can't do that. All we've done is really screw up our draft position, which is what we're really good at. Never getting the right draft pick at the right time. It's almost like the Timberwolves finally getting the first overall pick, and then there's no consensus number one guy. You know, it was a very disheartening game. You know, I don't know what was different defensively. I don't know what, you know, Dallas did have a lot and still does have a lot to play for. They have a very clear path to the playoffs, and people are writing about a 4-12 team making the playoffs, which might change how the playoffs are done. Maybe it should. I don't know.
It should have last year. It should have years ago. But if none of those guys wins 5 games, oh my God.
Yeah.
What a joke.
You know, it's somebody's got to win the interdivisional games, right? And outside of that,
that's
whoever plays the Vikings, I guess. But Ooh. Yeah, it is amazing. You know, I've been trying to really, and I said this last week, I'm trying to center myself a little bit more, not get too one way or the other, and get, you know, it's just amazing how, and I wrote an article about this, you know, how the team kind of fooled us again, and it was an exercise in how do we get caught up in these things? You know, what is the psychological aspect of it? I mean, it feels good when the team's winning. There's a lot of endorphins. There's it's just I to me, as a recovering alcoholic slash drug addict, nothing to me is better than watching Vikings highlights after they win a game. It's like I love it. Me and my dad drive around. We listen to the post game show. We go to visit my uncle out at Fort Snelling Cemetery because he was the president of the Southern California Vikings fan club for a long time. It's just a routine that I really enjoy. When that is taken away, I also understand where all that negativity comes from. But a lot of people seem to be doing what they always do, which is, picking who to blame and then cannibalizing each other. And it's kind of a sad state of affairs. But I feel like maybe we had a little bit of wishful thinking in those last three games. I mean, divisional games are always hard, but it was only a matter of time before an offensive coordinator figured out how to beat that too high safety thing that the Vikings have been doing. It's not the most complex thing. I know they were doing a lot of masked coverages and looking like they're doing cover one, then they do cover three or zone or man or whatever. But I don't think it's time necessarily to panic. I mean, there's a lot to
No.
be. I hate to be this guy. I'm not a moral victory guy ever, but I mean, the Vikings offense is arguably the best offense in the NFL right now, statistically. I think they're number one in. I just saw a tweet before we went on here. Number one in explosive plays. Number two in overall offense.
Joe,
Cousins is amazing.
you can say that statistically it might be true, but there has to be weighted into that garbage time, which where Cousins just made hay in the first half of the season, losing games to the Packers and then the Colts and then or maybe somebody else when they lost games when these teams built big leads and garbage time points. I yes, statistically, maybe they're one of the best. They're not the best. Arizona's good, and so is KC are much better, and they have better records. It's still about wins, and I'm going to hold them to it. How many times does the games in the do the games in the NFL come down to the team with the ball in their hands in the last possession? How many times? And how many times have the Vikings lost those games with Cousins? Has won some in that respect, but he's not won the majority of them by a long shot. And this was another one. For whatever reason, did he do what he needed to do to give him a chance? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So I'm not going to hang it on. I hang this one on the defense, but I'm not here to sing Cousins' praises either, because too many times he's come up short in this regard as well. I think he's great. I think he's having a great season. I want him to be the quarterback, but I want him to get over his hump of not of being jittery in those pressure situations, and rather instead taking command and going out, this is how we're going to win this, fellas. Follow me, and then they go get it. And then maybe you have a rookie like Justin not making a rookie mistake because he's following his leader. I mean, he looked off the ball, but because, like maybe like Zimmer said, he's feeling his oats a little bit. He has been having a great season.
Well, everyone was getting rocked, so I'm sure that's what part of
Yeah, that's another good point too.
part of it.
I just won't let Cousins completely off the hook. He had a great game. I hope he has a number more of them. But win some ball games when.
I will say, yeah, I mean, the thought that kept going through my head when they got the ball back was if he can score a touchdown on this drive, he'll
Yes.
finally shut up some of the people who refuse to give him any sort of credit. Again, I mean, I think things could have been different if one of those two guys would have made those catches.
Absolutely.
But
They just needed a little confidence. They needed a first down, and then they're rolling. And then they're not far from getting it. But
would have been nice
the fact.
to have some timeouts too, because then they could have run the ball maybe.
Yeah.
They didn't do that either.
They needed to take those earlier, unfortunately. I mean, and it's never just the last series. It's what's built up to that. And you just made the point. They had to give up some of their timeouts because they couldn't stop the Packers on or the Cowboys on defense. So
Yeah.
it's all part of it. But I'm just not going to look at the stats and say, oh, Cousins was great, so it's not his fault. But it's partially his fault. It's partially,
Well, especially it's everybody's fault, I
yeah,
guess.
the offensive line
But more
give him the
so.
time he needed at those plays because he had to get rid of some passes there at the end that maybe he could have if he had more
Yeah,
time.
the fourth down, for sure, at the end of the game.
That's Rodgers always gets plenty of time at the end of the game to do whatever he wants
Isn't it
to do.
great how that works? I mean, you talked about my Hail Mary article from, I think, 2 weeks ago, and he's been involved in three, Rodgers has, and that's because he always has like 50 seconds behind the line, or the refs giving him free plays for some reason. Speaking of the offensive line, though, I think that we've seen enough of Dakota Dozier and actually enough out of Brett Jones, who filled in for Ezra Cleveland and had the best PFF rating of anyone on the line of a 75. Dakota Dozier had his third game of a PFF rating of under 30 on the season, so what I'm hoping is that maybe they keep Brett Jones at right guard and they move Ezra Cleveland to left guard, since he was a left tackle in college, and that might make sense that he could be like the new Steve Hutchinson or something. I think a lot of that was on him, on Dozier, and so, you know, I don't know, maybe this actually kind of pisses me off because that's the type of person I am, that's how my brain works, but I've always wondered if there's anyone that's been treated really poorly on this team, it's been Brett Jones. He keeps getting cut and then re-signed for less money, and apparently he could have filled in a long time ago because he had a really, it's one game, so it's a small sample size, but considering how bad Elfline was last year.
I wonder what they're not seeing there with him. That's a good point, you know, because when I heard that they moved him up, I thought, oh, God, he's still on the team.
Yeah, I know, because they actually just released him like 2 weeks ago. Right. I'm sure it's the old, he's not the athletic type that they want.
Right.
Like Josh Klein. I'm sure he's not like a good second level guy. And was that Burke and Tice on 3 Deep with Wobby really went in depth into why that's important. But I think Burke said it best, which was, at the end of the day, I'd rather have a line that can, you know, hunker down and has a little bit more size and weight and pass protect in clutch moments than one that can get to the second level earlier in the game, because that's really what, like you just alluded to, that's kind of how these games always end up, right? Close games especially. And so, you know, I've never been a big fan of, I mean, zone blocking is fine. The 49ers do it really well. But some of these undersized guys, I've always had a bad taste in my mouth with that, just because of, you know, Khalil had that amazing rookie year, then he got pneumonia and lost like 70 pounds, and then after that he tried to be like this super healthy vegan, you know, rail thin left tackle, and who also
owned a pizza joint.
Yeah, really good. I don't know. I don't know if you ever had that pizza.
I didn't. I wish I had.
One of those like wood burning stove situations where they make pizza in front of you and they cook it in like 90 seconds. But the problem is that it's so hot that like the vegetables and stuff on top explode and then it just gets all watery, which is never good.
I was just making a joke. The fact that this guy is vegan and trying to be healthy and he owns pizza parlors, you know, the rest of us don't need to be healthy, but he does.
Yeah, but that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a positive. The offensive line could be relatively young. Brett Jones is 29, I believe. You have Bradbury.
Really? Wow.
Bradbury and O'Neal and Ezra Cleveland are all relatively young. And then Riley Reiff's older, but, you know, looking at how things are going, he could be around for a couple more years so they could draft somebody. My biggest fear is that I'm starting to hear rumblings that the Vikings yet again are going to be looking for a corner in the first round next year. And if they draft another corner in the first round, I'm probably going to have a stroke.
Wow. Don't do it, because this possibility is high after what they've gone through this year at that position. You know, I'll be honest, I'm more bullish on this team for next year than I am for this year, obviously. And that's not saying much, but I'd like to see what Pierce could do in the line coming back. I'd like to see with Danielle Hunter and getting to upgrading that defensive line with two polished veterans would be something. The defensive line hasn't been terrible, and if you could improve it there, then you draft a corner, maybe a cornerback. I'm not saying the first overall pick that high, but maybe you trade up and get one. That defense gets a little bit better. And the offense is, you know, I don't know, maybe you probably have to draft a left tackle, because Reef is probably going to, you know, whatever they offer him next year, you're probably going to tell him to stick it and go somewhere else after
that
having a good
season. Unless he
really
likes
season.
Living here or something. But
exactly. So
he's really, he's had a great year.
He has.
He's probably
not too happy
with the team.
He doesn't deserve to. I mean, it's for all that he went through in the offseason. So that's probably what they have to do. But, you know, they're not that far away. I mean, if the secondary that has at times looked really good. I mean, there's some rookies back there, and they're only going to get better, and they're only going to know Zimmer's system better. So I'm excited for next season. And if they keep losing, they'll have an easier schedule and a higher draft pick, and so
I always
whatever.
I feel like we don't end up getting an easier schedule for whatever reason. And granted, they're never that bad.
That's because the Bears and Lions always finish below us.
That, and I think, you know, you kind of each division gets matched up with the same opponents in other divisions. So when you have a team like the Packers that are usually pretty good too, you end up, I think, matching with a better division than otherwise.
That's
especially
part
if
of
the NFC East is such a shit show.
The top two teams in a division will get the top two teams of another division. And that it really comes down to like about three games that makes your schedule harder than anybody else in your division. So maybe two games, I'm not sure. So it's not that big a deal. But hopefully they get the NFC East next year. I don't know if they do, but it would be nice. So that division sucks.
Well, as long as we don't have to play the Cowboys again, apparently. Who? There was an article on Bleacher Report that I covered on Vikings territory this morning, just to kind of allude to your point. The Vikings were ranked the 10th best team in regards to the players that they have under the age of 26. I thought that was a little low, considering they have Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Brian O'Neill. Who am I missing on defense? There's for some reason I'm spacing, but or Danielle Hunter, obviously, who's broken all sorts of records at the age of 20, most sacks by a guy that's 25 years old, and that brings up a point that I didn't put on the agenda, but it was an article that I wrote that is the best exemplification of the experience of being someone who covers a team for a living, because a lot of my stuff is me reacting to other people's takes and saying, okay, I saw this on this website, I give credit to it, then I say this is my opinion on it. I came across an article on Pioneer Press by Charlie Walters essentially saying that the Vikings either may, should, or could trade Danielle Hunter to move up in next year's draft to get a quarterback or to essentially get two first-round picks. And I kind of said that would – what did I? Nothing would make Zimmer more infuriated other than accidentally buying a ticket to a 3D movie, which is kind of a low blow, than getting rid of Hunter. And why don't I have a press pass?
God, I can't believe you said that. Go ahead.
I said, but if there's an untenable situation with this contract, that's the only reason I would say to do that. Because I know that there's been rumblings of him being unhappy with his contract, which he should be. I mean, he just signed one a couple years ago. He's like the 15th highest paid defender, people are saying. But he would get record-breaking money, is what most people think, and that's what he deserves. So if that's an untenable situation, if he's too angry, or if we can't afford him because our salary cap situation is still kind of messed up, especially with the COVID cap, and Cousins is $45 million guaranteed in 2022, and you have Dalvin's new deal, so on and so forth. I didn't really get your take on that. Like, how do you feel about trading Hunter, period, if it was for two first-round picks, or to move up from their first-round pick higher and then get a second pick after that?
No, period. That's how I feel. There's nowhere they're going to get to enough to trade up to get the best quarterback in the draft, and that's what you would want to trade away one of the best defensive ends in the draft. And so why do it, I don't think you're giving away a lot more to move up a few spots, because they're probably going to pick somewhere in the middle, because they'll still win the games. They don't have, the next two games they should win. And they probably should beat the Bears again. And so they're going to end up in the middle somewhere. But there's no way that the Jets are going to say, yeah, we want Danielle Hunter instead of Trevor Lawrence, is that his name? Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And or whoever's going to take him that high. So I would not give him up. I mean, as much as quarterbacks are huge in this game, so are edge rushers, because they sack quarterbacks. So no, I mean, that's like, you got left tackles, edge rushers, and quarterbacks, three of the biggest positions in the game. So no, so that would be a huge mistake. And yeah, Zimmer would implode. I totally agree with your take.
You know, I think
make a good point, Joe, that about the money thing. If they know it's going to be a problem, they obviously did with Ngakoue. They knew they couldn't re-sign him, so they got rid of him.
Yeah.
But they must figure, because they knew they got to re-sign Daniil next year, so maybe that's why one of the reasons why they got rid of him. So that's
a
good.
And, you know, I got a lot of so the title of that article was "Should the Vikings Trade Hunter for the QB of the future?" And all the responses were, "Why would you say this, you idiot? Why even raise the question?" And my response was just copy and paste, read the article, because I didn't pose the question, someone else did, and I'm actually saying I don't agree with it either. So we all agree with each other. You're just not reading past the headline, which is it comes with the territory. I don't know why it bothers me so much. You know, I don't expect everyone to read what I say. I don't. No one wants to read what I have to say. But I have never really been a fan.
I got your back. You're right. You're right. I got your back.
I've never been a fan of NFL trades in the first place. I think they've gotten a little bit better, but I always feel like, you know, you trade away an established person. That's usually, if especially in years past, if they're worthy of a trade, they're usually pretty good, right? And so you take a known quantity that is good for basically a roll of the dice or multiple rolls of the die, depending on how many draft picks that you get.
Right.
And so the idea, especially when it comes to drafting a quarterback, the idea of giving up somebody who is going to be a Hall of Famer in Danielle Hunter and who is, you know, someone you can build a defense around, especially when you get Michael Pierce back and you actually have some semblance of a nose tackle, for even, you know, everyone in Vikings land is enamored with the guy from BYU, Zach Wilson, who Jack Day, who does the Load the Box podcast on our network, landed an interview with him, and it was on our site, like an exclusive. It was really cool. I don't watch college football very much. I want to get more into it. I've been trying, but, you know, the Gophers are terrible again. But I just think it's that unless you're going to get Trevor Lawrence, like you said, there's a handful of guys behind him, I think, that, you know, what's the difference between Zach Wilson and the dude from North Dakota that everyone seems to like, Trey Lance? Like, whatever. And with our luck, Spielman would trade Hunter for every seventh round pick in the draft or something. So yeah, I'm cool on all that noise. But you know, it's also just to defend it again, because a lot of people, the tweet literally got over 50,000 impressions. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it for us.
Wow.
Why do you speak these things into existence? And this is why people get traded. And I said, outside of maybe people talking about Randy Moss getting traded, I don't think it. When has that ever happened? Where we've.
Yeah, Joe, didn't you realize that Zimmer read your tweet and he's putting together the deal right now?
I know. It's like we don't have that much influence, and it's our job to explore.
None. You have zero. We don't have that much influence.
No, we don't have. Oh, I agree with you. We don't have
any.
We don't have any influence, but what's the way to put it? They're aware of us, I guess, because I've had conversations with the team where they've had articles printed out, and
the PR department is.
Yes.
The personnel department doesn't give a rat's patootie what we tweet.
The ex special teams assistant was aware, because that was a big problem we had. Somebody wrote an article about him getting fired, and I never even heard of him. And apparently he busted into the office with the article printed off and was like, "What is this PTSD website?" Wasn't a good look. We've been digging out of that hole for a while. But yeah, you know, back to the corner thing, I think it's hard. You know, I'm sure they're going to have to draft more. Mike Hughes is looking maybe like a guy who can't stay healthy. The Needle, I don't know why anyone's surprised a guy whose nickname literally is The Needle is not acclimating to the NFL very well. It's kind of a mess of a situation. You know, Gladney, I think, looks pretty good. He's like the best run-stopping guy in the league, or was a couple weeks ago at least. But there's just, there's a lot of work that they have to do.
What do we know about all these guys, though, and how Zimmer handles cornerbacks? He's got a very difficult system to learn, and what they're doing is they're taking players that they think have the physical skills, which you can't coach, and then they hope to coach them up with the rest and develop them. And I think they're all going to be good. I think, you know, they had Dantzler out there early, and he has made some plays. But maybe if they realize that he doesn't have the wherewithal to adapt to the system and figure it out and do it, well, then he will be gone. But, you know, he's still out there for a reason. They were forced, their hand was forced this year to start young players, and then all kinds of injuries have decimated that unit. But I have higher praise for the cornerbacks on this team as a unit than I ever expected to. And Zimmer's done, you know, I mean, just a week ago, you're talking about him as coach of the year for what he's pieced together with those guys. So I'm not ready to give up on Dantzler, or even though people are freaking out about him. And I think Gladney's going to be good too. These guys are all this doing what they've been doing, you know, being thrown into the fire without a lot of prep and certainly not a lot of seasoning to go with the recipe theme that we've had. So I'm a wait and see on this guy. So that, you know, it's possible they don't have to draft a cornerback in the first round unless they're ready to give up on someone like Dantzler or Gladney.
You know, and you don't really ever have to give Zimmer like too much of a reason to draft a corner, I feel. So that's more of my fear than anything. Like, I know these guys, I mean, Dantzler especially could turn it around. He's made some plays. It's just, it's the out of positionness of it, I think that.
Yeah, that's a concern, but that's some
coverage type stuff is a little bit of a concern.
But you can coach that up though, Joe. I think that's, you know, you can't coach a physical ability, you know, but you can coach to be getting yourself in position. You can more reps and a season on your belt is going to help with that regard, but we'll see.
I certainly hope so. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the rest of the season is just kind of an audition for next year.
Absolutely.
And we'll see from that. It's not something I'm accustomed to in covering this team. Like I've said before, you know, I've covered the team since 2015, and every year has been Super Bowl window still open, and they just need to add this piece or that piece, so on and so forth. And so it's an interesting state of affairs.
But Joe, at the beginning of the season, you said, you know, loudly and clearly that this team was going to be down this year because of what happened in the defense. And this is exactly what's happened. I mean, we have to, you know, my hat's off to my brother, younger brother, sent me a text after the game. He said, you know, you lose to Atlanta and Dallas at home. They are who we thought they were. This team is who we thought they were. They're a young team on defense with a really pretty good offense and a offensive line is trying to figure it out. And they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. They could, you know, maybe back into the playoffs if they did everything right, which they obviously didn't. And so it's not going to happen. It's who they are. They're going to be growing pains this. But, you know, next year, like I said, I'm bullish on it. So, you were right. You said that early on. So continue believing that. This is what we thought was going to happen. Wouldn't you agree?
Did you just say I was right?
I did.
Oh, my God.
I did. I remember you saying.
Where's the timestamp on this thing? Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, I guess. Like I said, you know, the last thing I want is to come off as a reactionary bobo, like a homer, that, you know, oh, they're winning, and look at how coach of the year, like you said. I always try to add some sort of contingencies, which was if this continues, he'll be coach of the year. You know, I think they're – again, I'm not a moral victory guy, and I even hate saying this. Me 10 years ago would punch me in the face for doing so, but they do deserve credit for what they've been able to do, considering,
you know, a little bit. I think so.
You know, like my expectations weren't that high, like you said, even with Anthony Barr or not knowing that Danielle Hunter was going to be out for the
right,
you know, or even before the Michael Pierce opt out. And so I guess they deserve credit for that. You know, it's just, they really had me right in their clutches. I mean, I was believing again. I was,
yep.
You know, look at, I don't know if you heard the intro to the game. Who was the color commentator? The guy from the Patriots, was it Vilma? Was saying, you know, look out the rest of the NFC. No one's going to want to face these Vikings, you know, going down the stretch. They're the hottest team. And it feels good. Again, it's very like, yeah, that's right. You know, we are good. And maybe this is the year because the NFC is so scattered and there's not really a clear front runner, so on and so forth. But, you know, I think our expectations were just a little distorted. You know,
The Packers are going to win the division. The Vikings are going to battle with the Bears the rest of the way to maybe get one of those spots. But and the Bears are going to drop off. I just don't think they're good enough, and they don't have. They're very one sided. They've got a good defense, but they don't have offense for beans. And
well,
you know the Vikings
combine are gonna, the team somehow.
Yeah, the Vikings are going to battle the Cardinals and the Bucks and. I think the 49ers will drop off. Just too many injuries there. I don't think they're going to, you know, because they're going to lose games in their division. They've got to play, you know, teams like Seattle and the Rams and the Cardinals. So, I think you got, you know, there's one division winner out there, and then they'll probably, you know, it's unfortunate they lost to the Seahawks. They should have won that game because they had the tiebreaker over them. But
looking back at it, the Titans, if the defense would have stepped up in that game, they would have, you know, they wouldn't have let them back in.
Totally different season. But they will need an eighth game to get in the playoffs, and I still don't think unless they virtually win out. They're not going to get it.
No,
yeah.
And it,
they're
it's
like
too,
four,
it really,
one, 4 wins with 6 games left. Crazy, and the Bucks and the Saints are on the schedule there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
I
who
don't.
Knows if Drew? You know, I feel like if there was a year, like I said earlier, we're never bad when it lines up with the draft, and we're never, I guess, really good when it lines up with a window of opportunity. That having been said, I mean, I remember back in the playoffs after the 2000 season, thinking, okay, if we can avoid the Bucks, I think it was, and the Rams will be fine, and then it ends up being us and the Giants for the NFC Championship game, and I'm like, we're going to the Super Bowl. This is insane. Similar to Philly in 2017, backup quarterback, I'll take that over the other teams that were available at the time. The Rams, who the Vikings had that shootout game with earlier in the season. And that never really panned out, obviously. But, you know, I feel like the NFC this season, you know, the Drew Brees is, you know, aged. His arm is not where it was. That offense has not been great. And granted, Michael Thomas has been out, but Brees just doesn't feel – he kind of feels not as bad as Peyton Manning in his final season where his neck was broken, essentially, and he could only throw, like, 3 yards sideways. But Brees' arm has been a liability there. And so, I mean, maybe with Taysom Hill, maybe – Breeze won't come back in, or they'll mix Taysom Hill in more. But Brady's, I think they said in the last 6 weeks, his passer rating on passes over 20 yards is 0.0. Yeah, it's insane.
It's not good.
No, and they're basically saying he's the only liability on like a really good roster. And so you just feel like there's actually a really big window of opportunity here because, you know, Russell Wilson's great, but that defense is suspect. We beat the Packers for crying out loud. You know, it's really too bad. That's not to say that especially if they expand to 8 teams, which I have a feeling might happen too. Who knows what'll
based
happen.
Based on what, Joe? What's you and Bob Sanford basing that on? Because I thought they were saying if they miss games now, they might – They've been made up every game that they said they were going to miss, right?
Yeah, the way
canceled.
He explained it was that if any, how did he explain it? He explained it in a way that made sense because before that I was relatively, I didn't think it would happen. But it was if a team has to cancel like one of the playoff teams has to cancel a game or something. I don't know. You think I would know more because I'm basically saying I
well,
agree
you know
with
that
it, but...
yeah. It's kind of make that makes sense, but you know, now granted, we might see the Ravens Pittsburgh game not be played on tomorrow on Thanksgiving because they've got like a whole bunch of people on the Ravens have got COVID and are out. So you know, maybe
it's basically just this is how he explained it because I just Googled it and this is what it says: the competition committee will present a resolution to NFL owners for an expanded postseason if regular season games are lost to COVID. So if there's any games that are canceled, I don't know if
any games, any
that,
games.
That's that. Yeah, that's very
strange. That's
kind
strange. Of vague. You know.
That's why I'm having trouble explaining it. The league is concerned about losing games from the pandemic as regular season bye weeks disappear. It's possible some teams won't play a full 16-game schedule. The extra postseason games would also offset lost revenue. blah blah blah.
Oh, there you go. There's the reason right there.
Of course, everything with the NFL boils down to that, doesn't it? I mean, I.
Okay, well, maybe that will happen. I, you know, and the Vikings still have a, you know, they have a more realistic chance at that. But I think those are even small. I mean, their margin for error is tiny now. They kicked away one they should have never have lost. Well, and it's their second one that they, you know, they should have beat them. Should have beat Seattle, and they should have beat this one. So they should be 6-4 rather than, what are they, 4-6?
Yep.
Four, yeah. So
they very easily could be 7-3 too. You know, it's just
yep,
it's
absolutely.
that's really. I mean, that's why football is so addictive. I think, you know, there's just so much weight on every single game that I think that's why I never really got into baseball. It's just there's too many games, and you don't really feel like you can lose 20 in a row. And I mean, that's not great, but you can claw your way out of it. It's just too
Right.
long. It's not. I demand high stress situations, I guess. And I don't. I you know my fiance. He always says, you know, what are you getting out of this? You know, you're not happy when they win. You're relieved, and when they lose, you're quiet for 3 days. You know, it's not fun. But when it's good, it's good. I'll give it that. I sound like somebody on Dr. Phil being told to leave, like an abusive spouse. But you know, it's ingrained in all of us, and they have to win eventually. Did you have a chance to read Sansevier's article this week? If people don't know, Sansevier has been writing a column for us each week called a nano column, which has been getting longer and longer each week, but it's supposed to be something you can read at, he says, a stoplight, which I think is a felony. But outside of that, you know, what he did this week I thought was very interesting, and is somebody who is held in equal esteem in the local sports journalism market. I wanted your take on some of these behind the scenes things, I guess, from across his career that didn't make his book. Little.
Oh, I didn't see it. No.
Okay. So the original article was titled, "Who's the biggest a-hole in Vikings history?" And I changed it to basically say, like, here's some Vikings facts from Sansevier's career over the decades that Vikings fans will want to read but probably won't want to know about some of their favorite players. Essentially, the article begins and ends with Chris Carter and the fact that nobody liked him, apparently, and he was a really big jerk. And he refused to mentor Randy Moss, which was not what my memory of it was, that, you know, Moss learned a lot from Carter, but maybe that was a reluctant, like, Favre and Aaron Rodgers thing.
It was, but he came around when he restarted realizing that Randy's better than he was. He came around, but yeah, early on he was struggling with it a little bit.
Was he? Okay. I think Sansevier's gripe with him was that Carter bumped Bill Brown from the Ring of Honor in 2003, and Bill Brown's wife was dying, and she wanted to see him inducted into the Ring of Honor, and Carter said he wanted in, I guess. And so she died without having seen that. But there were some other funny ones, like Tommy Kramer. A lot of the footballs that are autographed by Tommy Kramer out in the zeitgeist or on eBay were actually signed by the PR department in the 80s. The story about Keith Millard and "My arms are more powerful than your gun" is a good one. Les Steckel punching himself in the mouth during a team meeting, or cutting up a credit card because of the country club atmosphere. I didn't know that he tried to create an all-Christian football team with the Vikings. I never heard that either. There's just a lot of things like that maybe people hadn't heard or heard others aspects of it.
I gotta go check that out.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. The Chuck Foreman stories with Bud Grant, they're not all negative, but a lot of them are kind of tarnishing to some of the
Sansevier was a beat writer of the Vikings for the Tribune way back in the day, so he would have the stories.
Yeah, it's a good article. People should check it out. But I guess I'm not surprised by Carter. He seems to have that edge to him.
Well, what he needs is a fall guy. He should have had a fall guy. He wouldn't.
That's
have
what
been
I
showing up
said.
Yesterday.
I said, you know, that's when I kind of lost a decent amount of respect for him. That was, I don't know how he thought he could say that. Why that was a good idea, why he would tell the NFL of all places, a room full of rookies on camera. It's just crazy. But it is funny how that's changed, though, because I never thought Randy Moss would be, you know, a media guy. Wabi was talking to Matt Burke and was saying, you know, or no, actually, it was when we had Brian McKinney on 3D with Wabi. He was saying, there's some guys that you interview in the locker room, and you'll know this, Joe, because you did that forever, that you can tell are going to be in the media after they retire. They're more engaging,
yes,
and they have
yep
that personality to them. I've always been amazed that Randy ended up being a host of anything because he just seems so anti-media and
Oh, yes.
mercurial, and now he's kind of this fun-loving guy.
We all grow up, don't we? Even football players.
It's funny you say that. That's actually really apt because something that's really pissed me off the last couple of weeks is that anytime I write something about Diggs, which I've only done. I wrote a lot about Diggs over the, after the trade, and I've only written a couple things about him during the season, just tracking like his stats and seeing where like how they differed from his time with Cousins the last couple of years to see if him being the man in Buffalo has meant anything, so on and so forth. And those articles all get picked up by Google News, and I'm sure when Buffalo Bills fans type in Buffalo Bills or Diggs, they find them because we'll get hundreds of comments, and they're mostly from Bills fans, but they've all been saying the same thing, which is. You know, your butt hurt, which is something that I think is was coined by Diggs. Somebody he retweeted a Buffalo Bills fan making fun of Vikings fans for being butt hurt, so everyone calls us butt hurt now. But also that he's matured now, and that we need to get over it. He's grown up, and it's like, who grows up at 26 because they're traded? What? He's not any different than he was here. He's just happy because things are going well right now.
Right. Wait for the other shoe to drop there. And wait till they lose in the playoffs or and
Or they're
something
winning in the
happens.
playoffs, but he's not getting the ball, a la the Saints
There
game.
you
He
go.
throws his helmet. You know, you don't. That doesn't just change because you move to near Niagara Falls. And
Tiger doesn't change his stripes that easily, but once they get out of the game, I mean, Moss is a great example of someone who grew up after the game. I mean, the things he used to say to the media about the media. I mean, I used to hear a lot of stories. I didn't cover him. I was just there. I came in when he returned from the Titans or whatever. When he returned from the Patriots, but which was very short-lived, so I didn't get a
before the
chance to.
Titans.
Yeah. But the stories the other guys would tell, it's hilarious. He'd always stick his nose into the media room and let them know exactly what he thought of them, and just because he could, and he didn't spend a lot of time one-on-one with the local media, that's for sure.
I have looked everywhere for, and this is funny because the conversation we had before we went on the air. There was a video clip that I remember seeing, and I only saw it once, where Moss dressed down Suhan. He basically, in the locker room, said, "I read your column about me. You're full of shit, essentially. Why are you? Don't ever talk to me. I will never answer a question from you. Next." And I always wanted to find that clip for some reason because I just thought it was very Moss-ish and very interesting. But apparently Suhan's a super nice guy. I just always got the impression maybe that he wasn't, but that's maybe just his writing. He's just kind of a
He's a
sardonic,
tough, right?
he's a
Oh yeah,
sardonic
he's
guy.
tough. Yep.
Well, since we're going a little long, just really quickly, KJ Osborne is going to be replaced as the punt and kick returner, apparently. I think the Vikings are
And
averaging
before you go on,
1.3 yards a return. I just wanted to ask you who would you replace him with?
well, you're kind to only say that because last week I poo-pooed your thought that he was struggling yet because he is a rookie, and I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. And then I saw him last weekend. I said to myself as I was watching the game, I said, "Self, Joe was right." So
Yeah.
there it is,
Hey,
twice
two on one show?
on show.
Weird.
That's
Who
right. So
are
yes,
you?
he's not getting it there. He's not getting it, and he's gonna. I don't know. I'm sure they'll put Abdullah back there,
Yeah.
and as far as kickoffs is that where Abdullah is? Amir Abdullah or is does
He was more
Osborne?
of a punt returner, at least in Denver or Detroit, rather.
Right, and but
But Osborne's
they'll
doing
put him
both.
back there because you don't even need a goddamn kick returner. You need someone who could
No.
stand back there and watch the ball go over their head. I could do that, but.
There's an idea. As we established, we have a lot of influence, right, on the team, so I'll just write an
That's
article about
right.
it. Abdullah, I think there's a risk of fumbles there, but he's also shown that he can at least pick up more than 1.3 yards, and unless Sherrills is still in game shape or something, I don't know. Something has to change, but that would be actually a pretty dramatic move. I know people don't really think of it that way, but they drafted him in the fifth round specifically, clearly to be the returner.
Which is why I don't think they'll give up on him just yet, Joe. I mean,
Yeah, me either.
this season's lost. He's going to have to improve. He's going to have to improve, or else, that would be terrible if that was a wasted pick. Or else he's going to go to another team and be a really great returner. Like, I saw you have to be careful giving up on rookie stand. I mean, Daniel Carlson's pretty dang good kicker now. You know, he just needed to some place where he didn't have the steely eyed glare of Mike Zimmer on him at all times.
Yeah.
And in such an important season, he got a chance to grow into the job, and he's something that probably could have worked out for us. But you know, sometimes I'm going to give Osborne the rest of the season, and hopefully he figures it out, because I think he's got speed and he's got some talent, but he's got to become a professional and realize there's more to it, you know, and really practice at it and get better.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. It's the special teams. You know, I thought maybe with that fake punt that they had redeemed themselves a little bit, and then no.
Yes,
it's really too bad.
That could have changed the game. That really could have.
Multiple things could have, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah.
So, have you heard anything of whether or not Teddy's going to play on Sunday?
Well, I haven't heard he's not yet. I haven't really paid attention to it. I think they're trying to get him up for it.
Looks like it.
Yeah. So
McCaffrey, too. That would be nice if neither of them.
Yeah.
I would love to see Teddy play. You know, I think that'll be just a fun talker. It'll be fun for the fans that can't seem to let him go, even though he's proven that he's basically a mediocre quarterback. I think I wrote an article the other week, and I hate to keep belaboring this point. We don't need to really get into it because we talked about Cousins a lot already, but I just feel like Cousins has done things Teddy never did. And I don't get why people still look at Teddy. So, you know, I always go back to when we had Tommy Kramer on the original Three Deep. When he was singing those country songs, and he was talking about Teddy's throwing motion and why he couldn't hit guys down the field, and you know, I don't think that's something he's ever corrected. But you know, I get what you know. People my age are starved for a quarterback drafted by the team that actually develops into something. I mean, we had Culpepper, and
yep,
that's about it. You know, that didn't last very long.
It's also personality. I think everybody loved Teddy. He was just such a nice guy. The teammates loved him. Zimmer loved him. They had a bromance, and you know, had a little kid out here singing songs to him, and he became kind of a folk hero before he even had a chance to prove whether or not he deserved it. And Cousins, on the other hand, he rubs people the wrong way for some reason. If it's that, you know, like I said last week, he's got a guy that's got life by the short hairs, and is doing great. He's got that big smile and a pretty wife and kids, and he might be emblematic of something they don't like, as in Christian. And
that's part of it.
I think, you know, if you come predisposed to a person, then you just start looking for reasons for not
totally to
like him.
I think a lot of people made up their mind because they thought the contract was an albatross, the original one. And they still look back at it and they think, well, that's the reason why X, Y, or Z didn't happen, even though that wasn't why in those last two seasons. But I know what at times have rubbed me the wrong way about Cousins. And it's, I think what people see is when moments like the Dallas game, like you said, or games where he plays poorly, he has these polished responses and he says all the right things, but they just seem disingenuous, I guess. There's not, you know, like he's so passionate sometimes with like the, you like that thing. But after games, when you keep hearing the same things about, you know, I'm not like that are so almost focus group tested, you know, it just feels like, you know, enough already. Just like tell us the truth, man. You know?
And to be totally honest, Teddy was as bland as it got in the locker room. I was there in the locker room covering him, and you always wanted a little bit more out of him. He was polished in the way that he knew. He was never going to say anything that would cause a headline or rub, you know, get in a writer's craw that they would take the axe after him. You know, he was pretty bland. And so, you know, say what you will about Cousins, but Teddy wasn't that much better as far as a great quote, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think Teddy also, I mean, in his defense, he had a couple late game drives that Cousins hasn't really done outside of maybe the Broncos game and the Saints game. I can see that.
Right. My God, you remember those at the tip of your tongue.
I have them tattooed on my one on each arm, so I never forget. I was going to do my lower back, but I already have the Cousins profile there. Predictions. How did we do last weekend? We both were wrong, clearly.
Not so much, Joe. You had the final score was 31-28 Dallas. You were 34-13 Vikings. So
Good.
you were a total of let's see, you were wait, you were up there.
32.
You were quite a ways off. I actually was 28-20, so I had the Vikings score right on. I had nailed it, and I was
Whoa.
11 points off for the Cowboys. So
All right, so
you
I
were
said 34-13,
24,
right?
yeah,
So
you were 24 points off, and I was 11 points off. So
yeah.
I picked up 13, and
Damn it.
I'm now up 23 points.
I was making ground too. See, this is
So
where it
you.
gets precarious because there's only so many games left, so I have to make up like 5 or 6 points a game, I guess, to win this. But it's closer than it's been in years past. I will give myself a little bit of credit for that. But I lost, so I go first. Oh, this is hard. This team is so just it's such a roller coaster. You really don't know what you're going to get each week. You know, I think we've seen this offense is reached its a kind of a normalcy of being you know, able to put up points. I think they've scored 30 points at every home game or more this season, and they've lost three of them. So the home field advantage isn't really working. But I think that'll be something that continues this week. I think the Vikings will put up 34 points on offense. It just depends on what happens with the defense. And who really knows? I don't think McCaffrey's going to play. I think it's too soon. I actually have his backup on my fantasy team, and I'm trying to figure out when to drop him. But, you know, he's got that AC joint injury, and no one really knows what the severity of it is. But that's a pretty hardcore injury to your shoulder on top of his high ankle sprain. I think it's too early for him to come back, even though he's practicing a little bit. Teddy, same thing. I mean, if he plays, if he doesn't, we'll play some XFL quarterback, but that would have a huge impact on it. But I think that this team will bounce back a little bit. You know, there was just a lot of mental errors on defense that we hadn't really seen it that much of in recent weeks. But you know, they're going to score some points either way. I would say it's going to be 34 points by the Vikings, and let's just go with 28 points from the Panthers. The Vikings will end up winning this game, and then we'll get excited again, and then we'll get all sad against the Jaguars.
Oh my God. If they don't win these next two, any thoughts of anything is out the door. Then you start looking for that high draft choice. I'm going to be a little bit conservative, more conservative than you. That's what's gotten me back in after your initial 24-point lead after the first game of the season. So I'm going to go 24-20 Vikings. I think the defense will do better this week. And, the Vikings should score a lot of points, but maybe that's too small. 24 is, okay, I think I better go 27. I'm going to go 27
27 20.
because they're going to score some points.
You
Yep,
know,
27-20 Vikings.
I almost want to flip my score and say the Panthers are going to win, but I'm not going to do that because, again, we have influence. Actually, we might
Nope,
actually
it won't.
we might have more influence, at least in the upper crest of the state. Something I planned on announcing earlier in the show. We landed our first legitimate radio gig. Both Joe and I have done a lot of guest appearances on shows. I guess I'm technically the co-host of Bob Sansevier's BS show on Tuesdays, which is everywhere in St. Cloud, Duluth, Hibbing. Joe's been on KTOE for a long time. I do the scoop. I'm actually doing the scoop in about 5 minutes on KLGR radio. But the stomping grounds of Adam Thielen's youth, Detroit Lakes, has a sports
Who
radio
might not
station.
play this weekend?
We didn't even touch on that. That's the most Vikings thing ever, too, is just to wake up and see, oh, yep, of course Thielen has COVID. Why wouldn't he? KDLM Sports Radio on AM 1340 and FM 93.1 has offered us a pretty sweet slot in their schedule every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. before Mike Zimmer does his X's and O's. We are still kind of figuring out what we're going to do with that spot, but we're very excited
Yes,
for the
details aren't
opportunity.
hammered out yet.
So stay tuned to the website, Vikings Territory and Purple PTSD. We'll have a big announcement, and then we'll have our first show next week. But we're very excited, and we wouldn't have got there if not for the fact that, according to Chartable.com, we're one of the top 200 sports podcasts in the country. I don't know how they get those metrics, because I don't know, to be completely honest with you, how many people listen to this
They
show.
Asked our moms.
Yeah. This is the number one show in the Johnson household.
I'm
almost.
Sure it is.
Behind Yellowstone.
And there's a lot of Johnsons around. So
that's my base. But yeah, just stay tuned to that. We're very excited to bring our conversational style of nonsense to Detroit Lakes. And, you know, I'm gonna go up there in like 2 weeks and just demand a free car. Like, do you know who I am? Most famous man from Detroit Lakes. It's going to be great for my ego. Anyway, this has been Morning Joe's for the week of the 20th, or not the week of, but the day of the 25th of November. Thanks for everybody for listening, and we'll catch everybody next week. Skull.